From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua, focusing on chapter 20, the account of the establishment of the cities of refuge. In a demonstration of his mercy, the Lord appointed these six towns, three on either side of the Jordan, as places to which those guilty of manslaughter could flee. However, as Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, this in no way compromised God's high regard for human life, nor did it reduce his requirement of punishment for those who shed innocent blood. Men tend to minimize the strictness of God's law, imagining that somehow the Lord will overlook their sin. Yet the Lord's justice is immutable. Sin must be punished. For the unrepentant, there will be eternal punishment in hell. But for those who flee to Christ, there will be mercy and pardon. Indeed, Christ is God's city of refuge. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called The Cities of Refuge. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Doubting one, thou hast often said, I fear I shall never enter heaven. Fear not, all the people of God shall enter there. I love the quaint saying of a dying man who exclaimed, I have no fear of going home. I have sent all before me. God's finger is on the latch of my door, and I am ready for him to enter. But, said one, are you not afraid lest you should miss your inheritance? Nay, said he, nay, there is one crown in heaven which the angel Gabriel could not wear. It will fit no head but mine. There is one throne in heaven which Paul the Apostle could not fill. It was made for me, and I shall have it. O Christian, what a joyous thought! Thy portion is secure. There remaineth a rest. But cannot I forfeit it? No, it is entailed. If I be a child of God, I shall not lose it. It is mine as securely as if I were there. Come with me, believer, and let us sit upon the top of Nebo and view the goodly land, even Canaan. Seest thou that little river of death glistening in the sunlight, and across it dost thou see the pinnacles of the eternal city? Dost thou mark the pleasant country and all its joyous inhabitants? Know, then, that if thou couldst fly across, thou wouldst see written upon one of its many mansions, This remaineth for such a one, preserved for him only. He shall be caught up to dwell for ever with God. Poor doubting one, see the fair inheritance. It is thine. If thou believest in the Lord Jesus, if thou hast repented of sin, if thou hast been renewed in heart, thou art one of the Lord's people, and there is a place reserved for thee, a crown laid up for thee, a harp specially provided for thee. No one else shall have thy portion. It is reserved in heaven for thee, and thou shalt have it ere long. For there shall be no vacant thrones in glory when all the chosen are gathered in.
When we hear the trumpet sound in the morning. discouraged, for Jesus is our friend. And if we ask for knowledge, he'll not refuse to lend. Neither will he upbraid us, though often we request. He'll give us grace to conquer and take us home to rest. Shout, oh glory, glory, for we'll mount above the skies when we hear the trumpet sound in the morning. Shout, oh glory, glory, for we'll mount above the skies when we hear the trumpet sound in the morning. When shall we be delivered from this big world of sin?
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. Now, the scriptures clearly draw a distinction between willful murder and involuntary homicide, accidental killing. But nonetheless, such is the value the Lord places on human life that even involuntary homicide left the perpetrator open to being slain by the avenger of blood. And it took a special enactment even to leave a way out for him whatsoever. I was just thinking before I got up this morning, they didn't have cars and motorcycles in Israel in those days, and maybe it's a good thing. But on the other hand, I think if they had had such vehicles, this kind of law would have made somebody think more than twice before he got drunk behind the wheel of a car and smashed some family into eternity. It would have made him think before he drove recklessly or did anything else recklessly. This was something intended to inculcate into the people a very strict code of honor and of justice and of regard for human life. Certainly, the Lord had that regard. And it's clear, as you look at this and this enactment of God's law, that the law of God is very often stricter than men will ever allow themselves to think. We would naturally make excuses for the person who killed another in an accident, a car accident or whatever. And we can understand the argument. But even allowing that argument, the Lord's justice was such that it did not, in its strictest terms, it did not allow you to take the life of another with impunity. The law of God is evidently stricter than men allow themselves to think. It is rather the fashion of men to try and persuade themselves that the law of God is not so strict. They try to make themselves believe that there are loopholes in the law of God. They try to make themselves believe that their sin is not so bad as it first appeared, that the judgment of God will not be as strict as the Scripture says, that somehow or other God is going to lower His standards, that He will accept the best that we could do, that He'll accept our excuses. When you listen to the excuses that people have for their sins, it all boils down to this, that they try to make themselves believe and make us believe that the law of God is really not such a strict thing at all. But I have this to say to you this morning. If you're in this meeting unsaved, you are playing the fool on the edge of hell. As the Bible describes it, you are dancing on the edge of eternity, playing the fool, trying to tell yourself that God will make all sorts of allowances, that the law of God has all this elasticity in it, that somehow or other God will not be so strict against your sin. I want you to understand that God is strict to mark iniquity. That message comes out very clearly in this passage of Scripture. God is strict to mark iniquity. God will call every work into judgment. And it will be judged by God, not by man. He will judge it by the standard of His own eternal, immutable law, not by the changing standards and enactments of men, not by the mores of any given society, but by the standard of the strictness of God's holiness. What a picture this passage then presents. It is the picture of the justice of God pursuing sinners. What a pursuit. A pursuit that, short of the city of refuge that God has provided, without that, it is a pursuit that can only end in one way. There is no escape from the justice of God. There is no hiding place from the justice of God outside of His own appointed place of refuge. The prophet Isaiah said, the heel shall sweep away the refuge of lies. And every false refuge in which sinners hide, whether telling themselves law will not be so strict, or the love of God will somehow not allow a condemned wretch to be lost eternally, or that my religion is good enough, or my works are good enough, or I simply don't believe, or I shrug it off, or I wait till another time. Whatever the refuge of lies may be, the justice of God will wipe it out. What a picture that is. Can you see the avenger of blood hot on the trail of the manslayer? That's just a dim foreshadowing of that awful picture of Scripture when God unsheathes his glittering sword. The law of God starts after the sinner in judgment. Scripture says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Those are some of the most awful words in the Bible. If you're in this meeting this morning unsealed, I want you to let your sin come before your mind now. I want you to let every evil thought, every evil word, every evil motive, every evil action, every dereliction of duty, every breach of the law of God, every despising of the mercy and grace of God, every rejection of Jesus Christ, everything that God calls sin, and over it, I want you to see that God writes, I will repay. I will repay. Vengeance is mine. That's why Paul wrote to the Hebrews in 10:31 of that epistle. He said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Two chapters later, he says, our God is a consuming fire. Oh, when you look at the city of refuge, it shows you first God's justice. Now, I've said God is strict to mark iniquity. And the psalmist asked the question, if God is strict to mark iniquity, then who can stand? The answer is left to ourselves, no one. Who can escape? Left to ourselves, no one. But thank God, with his justice, he reveals his mercy. Because while here we see the justice of God pursuing sinners rightly, we see the mercy of God opening up the city of refuge, the place of safety. The mercy of God is seen in the very appointment of these cities. Thank God it is seen more fully in the appointment of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great city of refuge, appointed by grace. What a powerful testimony this is. It's a testimony that God sincerely desires the salvation of sinners. And I want to make that very, very clear this morning. I've been reading some of the views of people who have been great Calvinists down through the years. And they don't want you to preach the gospel to sinners, just to the elect. They don't want you to plead with sinners, just to the awakened. They don't want you to allow sinners to come to faith unless they've been through what some of them call years of sins and miseries. In other words, they've got to have so much preparation before they can come to Christ. And with that view, there comes the notion that there are millions in this world whose salvation is something God has no desire for. I want to tell you something this morning. First, that is not biblical. Second, it has nothing to do with the teaching of John Calvin. Thirdly, it has no place in biblical evangelism. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. He says, I delight in mercy. He tells us unequivocally that he desires, and that's the proper translation of the word in the verse I'm referring to, he desires the salvation of all men. People say then, well, why did he not elect all men? Dr. Paisley has a very good answer to that. You just mind your own business and leave God to mind his. He'll do a better job of it than you. That's as good an answer as you're going to get, by the way. Does God desire all men to keep his law? Does he desire them to fulfill his law rather than to fulfill the devil's desire? Sure he does. Does he, by an immutable decree, fix all men to obedience to his law? No, he doesn't. But he still sincerely commands them to keep it. And similarly with the gospel, the heart of God has no delight in damning sinners. To hear some people, you'd think God was dancing in heaven when sinners dropped into hell. And it's not so. Oh, the mercy of God. I want you to know today, if you go to hell, you go because you will go. You want to go. And you refuse the mercy of God, who positively, strongly presents to you the city of refuge. See the free availability of this refuge. What mercy is in that? It's accessible to the needy everywhere. The cities of refuge were so spread out that the refuge was accessible from every part of the land. And not only that, to the stranger as well as to the freeborn Israelite. And here's where the mercy of God is even greater than the type. In the cities of refuge, there was mercy for the innocent, at least, of willful murder. But in Jesus Christ, there is mercy for the guiltiest. There were some excluded from the cities of refuge, but there is none excluded from Christ, save him who will not come. If you will not come to Christ, you'll be excluded. But if any man will, then let him come. If any man thirsts, let him come. What mercy there is for the guiltiest of sinners.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.